How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, your friend, Susie Ruffle.
And me, I hope, I'd like to be your friend, Tom Allen.
I think we need to start this show by talking about what you did at the weekend and how good you were.
Oh, Suze, that's very kind of you to say.
Let me tell you, I had to hurry around a supermarket so bloody quick. I got there at 10. I knew. So for those who aren't in the know, which guys, you got to get in the know, Tom interviewed Anna Wintour, the Anna Wintour, on his Virgin Radio show.
Thank you.
And he was so brilliant. And so we text earlier in the morning and you were saying that maybe you were feeling slightly nervous.
Yeah.
And it's good to acknowledge those feelings.
Listeners will well know. That would be inevitable. Yes.
You said, oh, about 20 past 10 or something like that. So then I got to the supermarket. Oh. Bang on 10,
later
because
than
that's
that.
When it opened.
Oh, Zeus.
And I hurried the small child round.
Oh,
grab that, get that, come on. I've got to listen to Uncle Tom on the radio. Okay, Uncle Tom's on the radio. Let me tell you, I got back in the house. I started prepping my vegetables, just as you said. Oh, I've got a very exciting guest about to join me.
Oh.
And you did such a great job.
Really? Well, thank you for saying that. It was such a thrill because we were, they approached her people, said, would we like to interview her on the show on Sunday?
Totally right. But like, I love that Anna Wintour's people are like, we should get Tom Allen to do this.
Well, I mean, I was very flattered if they thought that. I don't know. Maybe it was just, it worked up with the timing. Who knows?
Tom, take the compliment.
I was very, very thrilled. It did feel like, you know, like a high point. I felt very kind of,
you were high.
I was not high.
My face. No, I know what you mean. You're high on life.
I was high on life.
Yeah.
And so I just thought this isn't going to happen. And Dame Anna was going to come in on Sunday, but then it turned out there was a bit of a scheduling thing where she was traveling across town to get to us and then going on to another thing. And the producers there thought, actually, maybe we should just do it on Zoom. And that way it's more, there's no chance that her team will go.
We'll pull out.
They would necessarily do that anyway.
No, they'd pull out in a way of like,
we might be stressed.
We're pulling out, but in a way of going, I'm so sorry, time has evaporated.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do it on Zoom.
Then, you know, thankfully that all worked well. And she was, well, so it was then, we're then told she's actually ready now if you'd like to talk to her now. And I just, up until this point, I honestly thought it was going to be a prank.
It was going to be somebody. I thought it was going to be me in sunglasses.
I thought it was going to be wearing some sunglasses. And
talking about my time at Vogue.
Exactly. And I'd done lots of research about her.
And you know, Tom, you can really tell.
Really?
I absolutely hate it when you watch someone. And like, you know, I listen to lots of podcasts, but I really can't bear it when you can tell people haven't read the book or done the work.
Right.
Like, I get it. If you're someone that's like interviewing 7 authors a week, fine. Don't read the book. Don't do the work. Get, you know, one of the team will write the book and they'll write you a crib sheet. Fine.
Yeah.
But the idea of just winging an interview with someone that's like giving up their time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you could really tell. And I think that she could tell. I think she liked you.
Well, all I can say is she was very generous to me and was such a generous conversationist. And I've honestly been on such a high since the chat, because she just talked so enthusiastically, not just about fashion, but just about life. And I thought, wow, you've done an amazing thing by being at the helm of Vogue and that sort of being the center of so much culture. Uh-huh. And the fact that she's been at the helm of Vogue since 1988. So like, you know, she's done it for a fair amount of time now. And she's still enthused by going to the theater and seeing a show. And she loved the music and she loved this and she loved that. And I sort of thought, you know, and she was so enthusiastic about kind of all the designers she'd worked with. And I'd gone to see the exhibition, and I do recommend it to listeners, at the Lightroom in King's Cross, called Vogue, The History of the Runway. No, The Story of the Runway. Vogue. anyway, it's at the
runway.
Runway.
Something to do with the runway.
Something to do with the runway. It is just inspiring because it's about creativity. Mm. And I thought, gosh, you know, in a world of often very depressing things, actually creativity feels like just a glimmer of light and hope. And it shows human beings, you know, for who we are. Yeah. And I thought that was something, and I hadn't felt like that for so long. I found the whole experience so uplifting.
Well, I think that she could tell that you did the work and she could tell that you were genuinely interested. And yeah, I just thought it was a really great interview. Do you know what else I loved about her? Mm-hmm. That she said, "What do you think, Tom?" And I thought that's such a sign of a great conversationalist.
I was bowled over when she said that. I was like, well, I mean, that's so generous of you to say this. So thank you. And thank you for listening.
I think you should be very proud of yourself because I think she is quite rightly an intimidating woman because of her incredible career. And I mean, it's no secret that you and I, you know, are very into fashion and we're,
of course,
you know, interested in that world. Mm. Yeah. I thought that you just did a great job and I thought she was great and I wanted her to be great. I've watched that. Have you watched that documentary, the September issue?
Yes. And also I watched the first Monday in May about her. I hadn't actually seen that before. So I watched that over the weekend. Really?
I would say the September issue I watch once a year when I'm feeling really rough. I would say if I've got period pains and I want to lay on the sofa, I will watch the September issue.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like fascinated by how they put together a magazine.
Well, I am too. And I found it, I remember my friend and yours, Alexa, we went to see it like 15 years ago, maybe more when it came out. Mm. And just, it changed our lives because we were like, oh, you can live. I think because she lives very positively, as in like Anna Wintour gets things done. And there's in a great way.
Yeah.
And I think that, and like, I know a lot of people love Devil Wears Prada, but, and I know there's that comparison often made, but I think if anybody does compare Meryl Streep's character to Anna Wintour, I don't think it's fair because I think Anna Wintour is decisive, you know,
yeah.
And she knows. And I think,
yeah.
And would a man get scrutinized like she has? I mean,
100%, 100%. Also, if people are fans of Anna Wintour, may I suggest Kush Jumbo's interview with her. Oh. There's a great interview with her on Kush Jumbo's series Origins, which is really great. Kush Jumbo is an amazing actress who I absolutely love, who I sort of fell in love with in The Good Fight. And then I've watched everything she's done. She's wonderful. Anyway, she's got this great podcast, Origins. She interviews Anna Wintour on it. And she talks in it. She says that people don't realize how kind you are. And she talks about the fact they met years ago when Kush, I say Kush like we're friends, when she was in, I think she was in New York doing a show. Someone put on a dinner and they invited the cast and then they invited people that like work with the theatre or donate to the theatre. Anyway, Anna Wintour ended up sitting next to her and she just had like the most beautiful conversation with her about life, about work, about her family. And they have remained really good friends.
Oh, how lovely.
And that's a great, a great sort of, I love the film Devil Wears Prada, but it does seem like there's a, you know, I think that Miranda Presley is a character.
Yeah.
I think, caricature to a degree as well.
Yeah. And I think, well, like I say, I think that if it was a man behaving like that, they'd seldom be scrutinized like.
I think we know men that behave like that. And I think they're doing fine.
Yeah. No one.
I think everyone's actually like, do you know what? He's fine, actually.
Yeah,
he's never tried to touch me up, so he's fine. Yeah.
So, I mean, the double standards.
The standards. But anyway, well done you.
Well, thank you, Suze. I appreciate that
really
very much.
Work.
And I did. I put the clip up on my social media, and I was really, really proud of it. And then, of course, the crashing low afterwards. Suze, you asked me how I am this morning, and I went, "Well, I just feel like I'm being left behind by the digital revolution," and launched straight into, where did that come from on a Tuesday morning?
But I feel like you've worried about the digital revolution for some time.
Well, I just feel
and in
like
our previous life, you worried about the industrial revolution. Of course, Tom and I have lived many times, always together.
Always together. The printing revolution.
Yeah, that one spun you out.
Oh my goodness. The fall of the Roman Empire. I was very anxious around that time.
For a lot of that.
A lot of that.
Remember. But you looked great in the outfits. People don't say that enough to you, Tom. You've got the legs to be a Roman.
Thank you very much. I've always liked a tunic.
Tell us how you're feeling, Tom.
No, I just worry about things. And then you said something very wise, Suze, which I thought the listeners should hear. I think people don't realize how wise you are.
Do you know, we don't talk about that enough.
We don't talk about how wise you are, Suze.
Well, okay. So when we got on the call this morning, I said, I said to you, I've got one of those weeks where I'm
doing lots of bits. I'm doing like lots of press for the book, some press for the tour, doing lots of little itty bits, but I'm sort of between here and there and everywhere. Just one of those weeks. And next week's, you know, a lot more chilled, but you know, it's just how it goes sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, you know, not complaining, happy for the work, but I just said, before we start, how are you? Because we always do a little check-in, you know, before we begin. We can't just pod immediately.
No, and it's all those years of drama workshops as teenagers taught us that we had a check-in.
We play a quick game of Zip Zack Boing, which between two of us is actually quite shit over Zoom.
Quite short as well.
It's really, really short.
Let me roll up through the spine.
And then roll down. Stretch out the facial muscles. Nicely faced. Yeah. Yeah. So once we've done that, which takes 2 hours.
Yes, people don't realise.
And then people don't realise we do a vocal warm-up for this as well. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips, the hard palate, the soft palate, the area in between.
Susie had singing lessons, don't forget.
Don't forget. So I said, how are you, Tom? And you said, I'm worried about being left behind by the digital revolution, which I thought was a strange way to start, seeing as I thought you'd still be on an absolute buzz.
Well, of course I have been.
Smashing your Anna Wintour interview. Anyway, then the point that I made, and I think it's of any creative endeavor, and I think it's because I'm trying to be less attached to my phone, and I'm trying to be less, I'm trying to really focus on what I am doing and what I have control over.
Yes.
And making what I create something I'm really proud of.
Wonderful.
And the point that I tried to make to you about feeling like you're being left behind by the digital revolution, you know, there'll be people that are TikTokers or that do something different to us. And that's great. That is the place for them and that's wonderful. Mm. But the point that I made is that I think if you create something that means something to people, that you really put your heart into, and I'm not saying, you know, million seller book or, you know, I'm just saying, you know, that some people read it and go, this really makes me feel better, or I really connect with this. I think those are the things that withstand.
Sure.
You know, there's literature that I love. You know, I often read Little Women. Often is too strong. Every few years I read Little Women.
Sure.
Because it was my nan's favourite book. Oh. And then my mum loved it. And now through family lineage, I guess, I love it. Because when I read it, I think about the characters, but I also think of my nan reading it.
Yeah,
you know, and I think of my mum reading it. And those stories withstand. You know, and if you create something that people can really connect with.
Yes.
You know, there's books that I read from, you know, people still connect with Charles Dickens.
For sure. Yeah.
And Shakespeare's still being performed. I mean, I'm not suggesting that we're writing Shakespeare, but I think that, you know, if you're doing what you do and you're doing it with your heart and you're doing it with, you know, that you're something you really want to talk about or really want to create, or, you know, you know, you really want to make people laugh or whatever it is, I think that don't worry so much about what other people are doing.
I know that's something we've talked about.
Oh my God, endlessly. This podcast is,
but
you could just listen to any episode and we basically say the same.
No, I thought this actually was very different, was very profound what you were saying. And I say you're so wise, because I think that is what it's about. I do think it's true that if you actually focus on what you're connecting with people, and that can be in any walk of life, I think.
That can
be
being a good friend.
Exactly.
You know?
Then it's valid. I think there's a lot of noise, isn't it? And I guess it's always been the case. There's a lot of hype around certain things.
In the Industrial Revolution, it was very loud.
Oh my goodness, you couldn't stop it. It was so loud, all those Stevenson's engines.
Is that what his name was? You never introduced me. I just heard him through a wall.
You must meet Stevenson's engine. Spinning Jenny.
Well, you know, we dated. And Lazy Susan.
Great name.
What's the spinning Jenny when she's at home?
I think the spinning Jenny was to do with someone is shouting at their radio set as I try and gather
it. I love the idea that people listen to us on the radio.
I like it too. Shortwave.
One of those old fashioned ones.
Yes. Or they're just holding up a satellite trying to hear us.
Hello, this is the BBC.
Oh yes, I like it when they used to talk like that. I think something to do with weaving in mills, fabrics, something like that.
Sure, weaving. Why
weaving,
not?
Big part of the Industrial Revolution.
So much. Jenny's spinning. She's spinning out.
But And I thought that was true. I thought it's, you know, and I know we've said it before about like, just worry about the things you can worry about, but it's funny, isn't it? How we just always, Denise on Loose Women said yesterday.
Because listen, I like Denise. How much are you watching Loose Women?
Do you know what? More and more, actually.
Have you done it?
Once, and it was delightful.
I bet it's lovely. I bet it's lovely.
And a big shout out as well to Lee Pert, who does the warm up there.
He's
wonderful,
fabulous.
Comic, lovely person.
Really nice guy. And really he nice can sing, you know that?
He's a great singer.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Real talent. He's doing some shows at the Crazy Cox at Zadell's.
Yes, he is in March. People should go.
Yeah,
it'll be really good.
He's lovely. And he works there and is always very fun and makes it very fun, I think, there. Mm. But so I watch it and sort of think he should be on screen a bit as well. That would be quite
nice.
But Denise was there. And I find it quite a comforting watch of her and Ruth. We'll say something quite salient and, you know, other people chip in. But Denise said the phrase, compare and despair. If you compare, you'll despair.
I love that.
And I thought, Denise, that's great. That's great, isn't it?
I'm with you, Denise.
Yet again, we're with Denise.
Once again, Denise Welch. She says what we're all thinking.
She does. She really does.
Oh, but she managed to put her finger on it. Well done, you.
Well done. Well done, everybody, for being so, you know, at the zeitgeist, as ever we are.
I was going to say, should we do some emails?
I was just reaching for the email, the pile of emails.
Oh my gosh. Why have you still not got a new phone cover?
I always look at the back of my phone, which smashed and is held together with sellotape. And I think of when, Susie, you said to me, well, that just looks like a guy who's doing really well. And every time I look at it, I think, yeah, Anna Wintour would never have a phone like this.
Well, no, it's just, I just worry about your fingers.
Yes, I do. And I've got a new handset, I believe it's called, but I just haven't transferred it over.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Story of my life.
Right. We've got a message here from James in Portsmouth.
Oh.
Hello, Susan, Tom. I recently listened to your Veiled Lady Beef episode. No idea. No idea what we talked about. Didn't even know we had an episode called that. So that's from our brilliant producer, Emma, who...
Emma is very good with
titles.
I think it was about the traitors and the fact that they've got the same bust as me.
Sure. Don't remember that episode.
Don't
remember
Chatsworth.
Don't remember us talking about your bust. But
yeah,
good
for you.
It was so delightful to hear you in my ears talking about so many things that chimed with my day. You were talking about waffles.
Yes.
The Mary Rose.
Of course.
Brackets Rosemary and pirate costume parties. Well, I work for a games company called Waffle Studio, and we've just been decorating our new office, Clang, in the Portsmouth Historic Dockyard.
One of my favourite pieces.
Home of the Mary Rose and HMS Victory. We make a word game called Waffle, hence the name.
Oh,
sure.
That's nice. Okay.
Perhaps the pirate costume party would be the Warrior Fest, an annual beer festival, the HMS Warrior, where everyone dresses up like pirates and dinosaurs. Weird that they've put dinosaurs in.
I don't mind it.
I don't hate it. I just don't know that...
No, I don't
Were dinosaurs present at Admiral Lord Nelson's moment in the sun?
I don't know.
I don't ever imagine any,
but that would explain why Nelson's column is so tall.
How do you think they got him up there? There you go.
So maybe that's what it was.
Move over, Greg Jenner. This is the history podcast now. It is tremendous. There are shanty songs.
Oh, yeah.
What's a doubloon?
Oh, is that like a hornpipe?
Sure, doubloons and tankards are plenty. It doesn't seem like the most appropriate party for an 8-year-old, but you're having fun, so what's the harm? But today I received an invite to a 90s-themed fancy dress party to celebrate my friend's 40th birthday, and I was wondering, if you ever received an invite to a 90s party, what would be your immediate thoughts? What or who, indeed, would you dress up for such an event? Much love from Portsmouth, James. James, if you're approaching 40 and you live in Portsmouth, do we know each other? I don't know.
Goodness. There might be a connection, James.
There could be a connection.
Wouldn't that be lovely? Someone you went to school with or something?
Tom, what would you, if you were going to a 90s party? I'm dressed in quite a 90s top today. What would you wear to a 90s party?
Well, of course, I have been researching quite a lot of fashion of that era because of our aforementioned conversation.
Yes.
And so I think going as Linda Evangelista would be a great one.
That would be a great one.
Yeah, one of the
supermodels, one of the first supermodels.
Yeah. Or, or trying to think who else was at that time. Because I didn't enjoy, personally, I didn't enjoy a lot of the grunge stuff in the 90s, but then maybe you could embrace it in a flamboyant camp way, James.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You could go as a sort of camp Liam Gallagher.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I'm trying to think of a camp play on Liam Gallagher, but I can't think of one.
No, I can't find it either. I'm really sorry.
No, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
You could pop on a Parker. And yeah, sure. some John Lennon glasses.
Very nice.
That's simple though. I maybe
it's
want to
simple.
Go bigger than
maybe
that.
You want to go, yeah, you might want to go sort of
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City is quite good. Maybe I see I would say George Michael would be quite good.
Oh yes, that's a great one, Suze.
So
yeah.
I would go, you could either go with the sort of relaxed t-shirt.
Yes.
Did it say no, choose fun.
Choose love.
Choose Love is the brilliant charity. What is this? Are people still listening? At this point, I think it's just our friend Katie Helps that's listening.
I just think it's Katie. Thank you for staying
Thank
with
you,
us.
Katie, dear friend
it's
of the
not,
show.
It's not relaxed because that was Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
It was Choose.
It was a bit more 80s, wasn't it?
Choose Fun. Choose Love is...
That's the charity.
That's the charity who do incredible work. We're going to have to look it up.
You could go to Club Tropicana. Club Tropicana with the inflatables. That would be fun.
Do you know what a sign of the times? If you put George into your Google search bar, the first thing that comes up is at Asda.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it would be Michael and that it's listening to us, but obviously it's not.
No, it's not. I absolutely love George Michael. I listen to him more and more, you know.
Oh, yeah. We played Freedom on the show on Sunday.
Oh, did you? Oh, yes, I heard that because that was the one with all the... Choose Life, of course. People are shouting that, aren't they?
Choose Life, sorry.
Absolutely shouting it at their...
At their devices.
Well, I was going to say at the wireless.
At their wirelesses. Programs.
So I would go that. You could also go George Michael in his Let's Go Outside phase.
Yes, that's more 90s, isn't it? Actually, yeah, Club Tropicana's quite 80s.
I don't know if you have the follicles, the facial follicle Poirez, James from Portsmouth.
Draw it on.
Do you think you could whip up a goatee in time?
That would
be fun.
Because
the sort of thing you could do quite quickly, couldn't you, Tom?
Oh, in two shakes.
Who are shaking cat's tails? And when did that become a measure of time?
Well, of course, you know, people forget there was a time before the
watches.
Ticking clock. Yeah, before watches. So, of course, they just had to shake a lamb's tail.
Well, of course, you'll know that from was that the printing revolution?
That was the, yes, that was the Renaissance. Yes, I think.
Oh, pre-Raphaelite?
Yes, probably. I don't know when that exactly was. Should we do one more quickly? Because I know you've got to dash out the door, Suze.
Yes, I do.
Hi, Suze, because we haven't even mentioned Call the Midwife. Hi, Susie and Tom.
God.
I laughed this week when you discussed actors popping up in Kill the Midwife. That used to pop up in The Bill. I've always lived in the Midlands and have been very lucky to have gone to Stratford to see dozens and dozens. Okay, RSC Productions since I was a kid and into adulthood. Brackets clang, I'll say.
I'll say so.
We used to always buy a program and then program, they put in brackets with an M-E. You were right the second time. Program without an M-E is the American spelling and is usually only referred to computer programming. In this country, but don't worry, we just had too many, so now we just look at the cast on our phones. We do this so we can play who's been in the bill for years and years. You could guarantee that multiple cast members in any production would have been in the bill, and whoever found them first / found the most would win, I suppose.
Oh.
Sadly, nowadays the ex-billers brackets billets, I like that very much,
very good,
are less frequent, but the takeover productions that people have always been in seem to be Doctors, Silent Witness, Death in Paradise, and yes, KTM, Kill the Midwife. I thought you might enjoy a turn at the game on your next theatre trip. Bye, bye, bye. And that's from Lauren in Wolverhampton. Lauren, thank you.
Lauren in Wolverhampton, who goes to the RSC quite frequently.
Dozens of times.
Dozens
wonderful.
Of times.
Wonderful,
imagine
wonderful to go and
Lauren.
See things. Oh, I know the
I'd
life.
To be Lauren. Good
life
for you,
Lauren.
Lauren.
Well, now we have to make a move.
We must go.
We must make amends. But the... No one ever says that, do they?
Make a mince.
Make a mince, as in to mince, to walk. Must make a...
I think you could start saying it.
Okay. You heard it first.
That sounds like it could be a Craig Hill show.
Make a mince. Yes, it could be. Yeah.
A very funny comedian called Craig Hill, Scottish guy, who had very funny show titles.
Yeah.
Like Come Down the Front Where I Can See You.
Yes.
Blown by a Fan.
Exactly.
Very, very
funny,
silly.
Wonderful, funny names, yeah.
Anyway, right. I simply must go. I must get that train to that there London.
Suze, you must. But to all the listeners at home, thank you for joining us. Hope this has been uplifting in some way, midweek or whenever. And Suze, the book and the tour is on sale now?
The tour's on sale. It's selling pretty well. It's,
great.
It's very close to selling out.
Great.
Autumn, so that's lovely. And the book is available for pre-order. I will be pushing this book on you hard, guys. Just FYI, if people are thinking about getting the book. But not yet. It doesn't come out until June. You can chill for a minute. Okay. But if you wanted to pre-order it in the next couple of months, it's very helpful
it's
for
good.
Getting it out there. You know. You know, sure. The pre-orders are very useful.
We know this.
Anyway, listen.
Also, if anybody's in Australia,
oh my gosh, of course.
The details are on my Instagram handle.
On your handlebar moustache.
On my handlebar moustache. You'll see them right there. I'm going to be in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and Perth. Do tell friends and family who might be there as well.
Yes. And like, wait afterwards for Tom. Let him know you're a like-minded friend, because that happened a couple of times to me in Australia and it was thrilling.
Oh,
but that's happened to you before. You've been before, haven't you?
Been a couple of times. So I'm excited.
He's
to...
He's a big deal. Again.
No. But
have you ever been to the RSC?
Only once, and didn't buy a program. So I feel like a fool.
God. What's the opposite of clang?
Ooh. Readers, do send in
your suggestions.
Suze, go get that train.
I've got to get a train. Okay, I love you. Goodbye. Okay.
Loves, everyone. Bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book. Am I having fun now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I having fun now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.